crackle, crackle. Pop, pop.
Our records never die.
Not this record!
Singles, albums,
LP records,
phonograph.
Gold records on the wall.
Keep those records playing.
Yeah, this is a jumping little record. I want my jockey to play.
I am a DJ. I am what I play.
Time to play B-sides.
Go ahead, dancing there by the record machine.
You got two turntables and a microphone.
Here goes the last DJ.
In that dusty old pile of vinyl records I got sitting on my floor.
Today on The Vinyl Experience.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! Let's...
But before we can go there, we must go here first. The pop culture landscape that the Beatles invaded on this day in 1964 was on firm ground, tended by a generation who were just about to lose their hold to something new and entirely unexpected. I'm Paul Cavalcante, and this is The Vinyl Experience, February 1964.
Singing roll a bowl, a penny a pitch. Singing roll a bowl, a ball, a
was what America expected British music to sound like. On February 9, 1964, the Beatles gave America a whole new idea. But Welsh vaudevillian Tessie O'Shea was on the bill that night, along with teenage Davy Jones, who was then a cast member of the Broadway show Oliver. Al Hurt had one of the hottest-selling singles on the Billboard charts that week with the song we heard called Java. And folk music was what the college-aged set, too old for Beatlemania, would be into in 1964. A few subway stops south of CBS Studio 50, Greenwich Village coffee houses harbored the kind of music that the Beatles themselves would soon co-opt as their sound matured. But in early 1964, Peter, Paul, and Mary were a universe away.
There is a man coming to Egypt, and Moses is his name. When he saw the grief upon us, in his heart there burned a flame. In his heart there burned a flame, O Lord. In his heart there burned a flame. When he saw the grief upon us, in his heart there burned a flame. There is a man coming to Egypt. His eyes are full of light, like the sun come up in Egypt. It's come to drive away the night. Come to drive away the night, O Lord. Come to drive away the night. Like the sun come up in Egypt. Come to drive away the night. There is a man coming to Egypt. He's come for you and me. On his lips the word is singing, and the word is liberty. And the word is liberty, O Lord. And the word is liberty. On his lips the word is singing, and the word is liberty. There is a man coming to Egypt to stir the souls of men. We will follow him to freedom, and never wear those chains again. Never wear those chains again. Never wear those chains again. We will follow him to freedom, and never wear those chains again.
Don't let the rain come down.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, don't let the rain come down.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, don't let the rain come down. My roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
There was a crooked man and he had a crooked smile. Had a crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Had a crooked cat and he had a crooked mouse. They all lived together in a crooked little house.
Ah, ah.
Oh no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah, ah.
Oh no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah, ah.
Oh no, don't let the rain come down. My roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
Well, this crooked little man and his crooked little smile took his crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Bought some crooked nails and a crooked little bat. Tried to fix his roof with a rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
Ah, ah.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah, ah.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah, ah.
Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
Now this crooked little man and his crooked cat and mouse, they all live together in a crooked little house. Has a crooked door with a crooked little latch. Has a crooked roof with a crooked little patch.
Ah-ha.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah-ha.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Ah-ha.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down. My roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh, yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown.
Ah-ha.
Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Might drown.
1964's best-selling folk records included the Village Stompers, the Serendipity Singers, Peter, Paul, and Mary, who had a couple of albums, and that unusual vocal group that took Bach to a groovy place, the Swingle Singers. The Vinyl Experience, visiting the other 1964, a vibrant and diverse music scene that would bend, but not fold, to include the Beatles' invasion. Folk and jazz were the progressive music of the day, and saxophonist Stan Getz cashed in on the bossa nova craze with a top-selling album collaboration with João Gilberto.
So dance, so samba, so dance, so samba, vai, 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 vai. So dance, so dance, so samba, vai. So dance, so samba, so dance, so samba, vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai. Já dancei o twist até demais, mas não sei, me cansei do calypso ao tchá-tchá-tchá. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba, vai.
Before Jazzers, it was Mingus Mania, with a hot-selling LP on Impulse by the bassist and band leader Charles Mingus, including Better Get Hit in Your Soul. 1964 was also the year of John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, Eric Dolphy's Out to Lunch, and Lee Morgan's The Sidewinder, all treasured classics of the genre. It's the other 1964, apart from Beatlemania, smooth crooners and big band arrangements, and the Rat Pack still ruled.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, in other words, I love you.
Somehow, something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now.
Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear.
Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I've found in your arms.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue,
your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. I would arrange for every girl to have your charm.
Every minute, every hour,
every boy would find what I found in your heart. Everybody loves somebody.
made it well worth waiting for someone.
Song by Jack Jones perfectly captured the world explored today by TV's Mad Men. Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin could still land number one hits in 64. Beatlemania had yet to displace them. But what music inspired the Beatles? Here are three 1964 hit albums that the boys, and their rivals the Rolling Stones, would have considered required listening.
Good morning, little school girl. Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home with you? Can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your father I once was a schoolboy too. Sometime I don't know. Sometime I don't know what a woman what in this world to, a woman what in this world to do. I don't wanna hurt your feeling or either get mad with you. Thank you. I'm gonna buy me an airplane. I'm gonna buy me an airplane. I'm gonna fly all over Shady Land. I'm gonna fly all over Shady Town. If I don't find my baby, ain't gonna let my airplane down. Now who's that coming yonder? Now who's that coming yonder? She all dressed up and pretty. She all dressed up and pretty. Yeah. Now she don't be my baby, I'd soon to see.
That good news, man, ain't that news. Baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news, man, ain't that news. I got a letter just the other day telling me that she was on her way, and she wanted me to meet her at the station. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. In the letter, she told me she still loved me. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. In the letter, she told me she loved me. Ain't that news, man, ain't that news. She said she's sorry that she left. Found out she don't want nobody else. Said she wants me all to herself. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Ain't that news, ain't that good news, man. I know that's good news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. I'm gonna have her a party at the station. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Have a party at the station. Ain't that news, man, ain't that news. I can't wait to get her home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Ain't that news, ain't that good news, man. That news, my baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news, man? Ain't that news? Good news, good news. Ain't that good news? Ain't that news?
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Thank you.
senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall, for he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are a-changing. The mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. Oh, the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
The screaming fans of the historic Ed Sullivan broadcast of February 9th, 64 could not have imagined that their heroes felt the same way about a diminutive Midwestern folk singer who released the album The Times They Are A-Changing 1 month earlier, Bob Dylan. Sam Cooke's Ain't That Good News and Muddy Waters' Folk Singer were three LPs that the Beatles, the Stones, the Animals, the Yardbirds all held in esteem. And that brings us to 1964's biggest musical news story, reported here by DJs John Babcock, Al Wyman, and Roger Christian on Capitol Records documentary LP, The Beatles Story. This late 1964 album was out of print for years and remained available only on vinyl until just last month. Here from the original vinyl is side one, detailing the events that led to today's historic anniversary.
It started in Liverpool, England, a sound, a feeling, an emotion. It started in Liverpool, England, and swept up the youth of the world. And while adults speaking in many foreign languages looked on in awe, four young boys from a poor British seaport slum town, their hairstyle a harmless defiance of convention, their musical style brash, earned renown which they had never dreamed of and perhaps never really wanted. The Beatles had even picked a name which defied and challenged acceptance. Their very success, ironically, seems to defeat their I don't care philosophy. But through it all, confused at times, perhaps a little frightened at times, they've clung to their identity and grown closer to one another. From such romantic sounding but dank appearing Liverpool clubs as the Cavern or Iron Door, where the smell of seawater mixes with the odor of ciggies, now come the sound delights, the singing and screaming junior auxiliaries of Britain's storied angry men. But always up front, George, Paul, John, and Ringo, a quartet of musical rebellion, who make no effort to charm, but strangely enough, by that very act, charm their most severe critics. And like Pied Pipers, their fans are legion, but their cultist reactions a phenomena.
Well, what did it do to you? You seem to be in a...
They were just like four boys, and I really liked them. They were good, they were real great guys. It didn't really hit me. And then you see them standing there singing, and I don't know what they do. They just change you. They're not what they used to be. They're just so much better. Guys! And then you see them on stage, and they just like a myth for you. It's what they seem like. Every little movement's for you and no one else. It seems so personal, but yeah, it's just for everybody.
Did you ever expect the concert to do this to you?
Oh, no. Oh, I came here to sing. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to do anything. So here I am crying. And the thing is, I touched Paul the other day. I thought, well, that's not going to be nothing. I've touched Paul McCartney. And now I've touched him. I can't touch him again, ever again. Never. I got his autograph.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
I just think that the most wonderful person I've ever met my whole life. I just love him.
Beatlemania. But what is Beatlemania? Mania, by definition, means craze. We found a label, but we still don't know what's inside the bottle. In Hamburg, Germany, where the early Beatles started, youngsters who didn't even understand English felt Beatlemania. Beatlemania is, in fact, a temporary state of mind which can only be accurately described by the one who's under its influence. There are many reasons for Beatlemania. This is the reason why Beatlemania was ready to serve to the world. Into the musical Liverpool cauldron were the basic Beatle ingredients of excitement, sound, movement, freshness. Cooked over the bubbling waters of the Mersey River, it was Brian Epstein stirring the brew, adding from time to time the dash of professional seasoning. Drawing on his own theatrical education, Epstein, the Beatle manager, was able to take the admittedly scruffy quartet and act as both an objective mirror and business guide. How Epstein and the Beatles joined forces is another chapter in this living legend. Epstein, at the youthful age of 27, had rejected the temptations of a career in theater to enter the family business in Liverpool. Despite an almost lifelong yearning for theater and a formal education which included study at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London, he decided to employ his creative talents and boundless energy in the business world, where the chances of financial security were considerably greater than theater. Although his personal tastes were somewhat sophisticated, Brian Epstein found the business of selling pop music records so financially rewarding that he decided he'd better immerse himself in the pop music world, which strangely enough was focusing its beams on Liverpool, and the Mersey Beat, successor to both the European skiffle and American rock, were popular. So down the cobblestone streets of Liverpool's storied Beat Generation section went Epstein. With dress and manner genteel, he reportedly projected a feeling of confusion the first time he was confronted by the Beatles. But in subsequent trips, his demeanor changed. And when Brian Epstein finally made a personal decision to manage the Beatles, it was a decision which would affect the musical history of the world.
baby, won't you walk with me? Come on, pretty baby, won't you talk with me? Come on, pretty baby, give me one more chance. Try to save our romance, slow down.
From the rough and rowdy streets of Hamburg to the cellars of Liverpool's ancient and not-so-honorable alleys, the Beatles were already legend. And like musical boulders dropped into still water, the story of that strange, overpowering audience reaction rippled across the continent. Perhaps Roger Christian can explain a few reasons for this Beatlemania.
One reason is John Lennon, the chief Beatle. Without John, there would be no Beatles. John was the one who organized the group and gave them their name, one that has become, in the past year, the most important word in the English vocabulary. On October 9th, 1940, John Winston Lennon was born in Liverpool. He grew to be 5 feet 11 inches tall, with brown hair and brown eyes. John Lennon is a determined 23-year-old whose somewhat stern face gives the impression of an angry young man. Fittingly, Lennon is called the chief Beatle. We don't let it count for much, really, he says. If we've got to have a leader, I'm him. The appointment of John as group leader came about not from necessity, but only to fulfill a public demand. People kept coming up and asking who the leader of the group was. The Beatles replied, nobody. The people said, well, there must be a boss. So the others said to me, well, you started the whole thing off, John, so you've got to be our leader. And that's the way it was. John goes on to say, ours is a cooperative group. Nobody lays down any laws. We talk things over. We have our rows. Nothing serious, though. Just differences like any other human being. And like his three fellow Beatles, Lennon is an individual who doesn't hesitate at any time to speak his mind. Once, when asked about politics, he replied, politics? They have no message for me, nor for any of our group. The bomb, nuclear disarmament, well, like everyone else, I don't want to end up a festering heap. But I don't stay up nights worrying. I'm preoccupied with life, not death. Born in Liverpool, John attended Liverpool High School and later the Liverpool College of Art. Lennon readily admits his school life was far from being successful. He goes on to say, my whole school life was a case of I couldn't care less. It was just a joke as far as I was concerned. But don't think I'm proud of it. I wouldn't want anyone to follow my example. Al Wyman, in our Beatle biography and sound, probes deeper into John Lennon's fascinating mind.
Although two of the three R's of school held no particular fascination for John Lennon, he always had a desire to express himself with the medium of the third R, writing. His originality of style is evident in his book published by Simon & Schuster, the book aptly entitled In His Own Right, is a huge sales success. When John was asked if he employed the help of a ghostwriter, he jocularly replied,
no, who's going to help you with a thing like that?
He never does write.
As for the offbeat style John employed within its pages, he candidly says,
well, that's the way I think.
The huge success of his book amply overshadows his self-admitted failures in school. But even before his literary achievement, John was to taste success in a Liverpool club called the Cavern. But what if there had been no Cavern Club, no Brian Epstein, no George Martin, no Capitol Records, no Lady Luck to smile down on those four lads from Liverpool? George Harrison very simply puts it this way.
I don't know. I know if we weren't making a lot of money and popular, then we'd just be poor, unpopular Beatles.
After many successful months of playing at the Cavern, the Beatles landed a booking tour with a Larry Parnes pop show. The job wasn't a very good one, just backing a young singer, but it was the first time that the Beatles had played outside of their native Liverpool. After that came their booking at the Indra Club in Hamburg, Germany, and a short time later, their discovery by Brian Epstein. While in Germany, the other Beatles, at that time including the late Stuart Sutcliffe, Paul McCartney, who had been with John since the days of the not-too-successful Nerk twins, and George, who had just become a Beatle, all found the young German Fräuleins much to their liking. But it was clear that John, although greatly elated over the group's newfound fame, longed for his home in Liverpool. And in his words, my love was in Liverpool. She and I met one day, and suddenly fell in love. Later we were married, and I love her. And like every good husband, John wanted his family to have financial security. However, at this point, this seems to be the least of his worries. When asked about the rumor if he or any member of the group was a millionaire, he casually scoffed.
No, that's another lousy rumor. I wish it were.
Brian Epstein a millionaire.
No, even he's not one, poor fellow.
Where does all the money go?
Well, a lot of it goes to Her Majesty.
She's a millionaire.
And she, too, is a Beatle fan. And as long as we have Beatle fans, I guess we'll always have Beatlemania.
And that's The Vinyl Experience. Find more Vinyl Experience shows on demand at rtds.ca, in iTunes, and in the archives at prn.fm. Please like the Vinyl Experience radio show page on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. I'm Paul Cavalcante.